So we come today to the last of our sermons on the letter of James, and we've been focusing on what a Christian life includes. According to James, Christian life involves developing a consistent character rather than being rule-obsessed, paying attention to the needs of the poor, acting out of our beliefs, not just thinking them, and watching what we say. And James closes this letter by emphasizing the importance of prayer in a Christian life for individuals, but also in a Christian community. Prayer is something that we talk a lot about in church, and maybe we assume that we know what we're talking about, but I'm not sure that we even agree on what prayer is, because some people seem to assume that prayer is talking to God. But there are other people who feel that prayer is listening to God, and some people pray aloud with their own words, and some people silently read the words that are written by others, and some people don't use any words at all, but just sit silently in meditation. All of these are forms of prayer. Even though we have all these different ways of praying, perhaps what we pray is similar. Presbyterian writer Anne Lamott says, basically, we just have two kinds of prayers. Half the time we say, help, help, help. And the other half of the time we say, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's the content of most of our prayers, help and thank you, no matter whether we're praying in words or silently. Our prayers for help and our prayers for thanksgiving, every Christian prayer reflects two core convictions. One is that God is compassionate, and two is that God acts powerfully for us in our world. In other words, God hears our prayers and God responds to them with power. So God, out of compassion, God works to heal our trouble, even when it's trouble that we've sometimes brought on ourselves. And a lot of the Bible reflects these two convictions. In Exodus, God hears the cries of the Israelites and then brings them out of slavery. Later, when Israel is yearning for a leader, God raises up King David and declares that David will be, his dynasty will be powerful and that God will be faithful to him. In the New Testament, we hear that Christ died for our sins and reconciled us with God. All of these examples show us both God's power and God's caring. One of the most common reasons we pray is to call on God's caring and power because we need healing for ourselves and others. And scripture passages like James encourage us to do this. He says, pray for one another so that you may be healed. Isn't healing what we all want? Healing in body, but also healing in mind and in our emotions. Healing in our relationships and healing in our broken lives. Healing for our economy, our environment, our world. James assumes that prayer is appropriate in every situation, whether you are suffering or cheerful, sick, sinful, in a position of leadership, or even isolated and separated from the community. Everyone is encouraged to pray. And James seems to promise that we will receive healing in return. He says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Just as Jesus healed people in his ministry in Galilee, so he continues to heal us, and that he may do so through our prayer. But we've all had the experience that sometimes our prayers are not answered, or not apparently answered. When I was in seminary, a popular classmate of mine was in a serious car accident, and he was prayed for by hundreds of people at the seminary. And he was also prayed for by hundreds more at his church and at his work and, of course, by his family. And yet he died after 3 months. During those 3 months, he had made some progress, and then he got worse. His progress slipped away. So did that his death mean that our prayers for healing did not work? Too often we put the blame on ourselves and we wonder, I must not be praying correctly. If only I get the right technique, God will hear me. And that makes God sound like a vending machine. Put in some cash, punch the right buttons, and get the candy bar. Say the right words and get your prayer answered. That puts it all on us, doesn't it? Doesn't that make us into God? But the Presbyterian tradition has always asserted that it's not all up to us. It's up to God. And we cannot act in a certain way or pray in a certain way and make God hear us. We can't make God do what we want. Including, we cannot make God heal those people whom we are so concerned about. Even though James says, pray so that you may be healed, prayer does not control God. And nothing that we do, even prayer, can manipulate God. So prayer does not control the outcome, but it opens us to God, and it focuses us on God and not ourselves, it focuses us on others, our community. I do not doubt God's commitment to healing and God's power and God's compassion, but God does have larger purposes than we can see. And God doesn't always do the things that we think best. In the case of the friend that I mentioned from seminary, after he died, his daughter wrote a letter to the seminary, to everyone who had prayed for him, and she said that the last 3 months they had after his accident were a gift, and it gave them invaluable time together, time in which to say goodbye. It was a time of healing for their family, even though death lay at the end of that time. And God didn't heal in the way that they hoped and expected, but God did heal, perhaps even in greater ways. I can't explain why God appears to act in some cases in the ways that we hope and not in others. All that I can do is continue to pray for myself, pray for you, to pray that healing will come. Because prayer is not a private matter. Prayer helps shape the community in which people are committed to one another. And James describes a very close-knit congregation, a congregation in which the elders pray for the sick and the sinners confess and the cheerful sing. These people do things together. They live lives in the Spirit together. They reflect God's power and compassion in their relationships with one another. So prayer is part of our responsibility for each other, for others in our community. Prayer shapes how we act, and it nudges us sometimes to do something about our concerns. And James describes a community that prays as a way to strengthen its bonds of love, not to get God to deliver what they want. When we pray for others in community, it just seems to give God a little more room to work. For example, when John prays for Allison in the community, God may work through Carter to answer John's prayer. And so I ask for your prayers. I ask you to pray for this congregation. I ask you to pray for our community of Fairborn in the greater Dayton area, this place where the church does its work. I ask you to pray for our world. And as you pray, think about this. How might your prayer be calling you to acts of compassion and justice? How might it help bring about change for those you lift up in prayer? Because prayer isn't just thinking positive thoughts about others. It is about bringing them and ourselves into God's transforming presence, opening ourselves to the possibility that God may use us to respond to someone's prayer, to reflect both God's caring and God's power in the world. Prayer isn't just about God and me. Although prayer will no doubt deepen your relationship with God, prayer is about who we are together, a community, a church. It is something we do because we are part of this Christian community, and it is something that we do for an ever-expanding circle of people. So I can't close this sermon without mentioning the events of this past week. And like many of you, I have seen the emotion in the testimonies of both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh, and I've heard credible words from each of them. And like you, I have also been troubled by excessive partisanship that I saw in senators on both sides of the aisle. And like you, I wonder, what are we to do and to say in this time of trouble? How might we focus our prayers at this time? And all I can say is that we might remember that God has the biggest picture in this situation. And so I encourage us not to pray for one particular outcome or another, especially in such a divisive situation. But instead, perhaps we might pray for the health and the healing of our nation. Perhaps we might pray for the restoration of civil discourse, for the wisdom to see good in people with whom we disagree. Imagine God as the center of a wheel. Here's the center of the wheel, and we are the spokes of the wheel radiating in towards that center. And as we move closer to God, closer to the center, we're getting closer and closer to all of those spokes around us. We cannot help but get closer to each other. And the only way to get closer to each other is to move closer to the center, to God. Let us pray. Loving and powerful God, move in us. Draw us closer to you through our prayers. Draw us closer to all of your children. Melt our hearts when they are frozen, and mold our actions into your ways. Fill us with the energy of your Spirit and use us for the healing of our world. In the name of our Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.